You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. In the beginning, there was darkness. Then, out of the void, came fire. Smoke. Roto. Fantasy excellence begins here.
This is your time.
The Roto Experts in the Morning starts now.
It is Monday, June 5th, 2017, and this is the Roto Experts in the Morning. Alongside the fantasy executive, Corey Parson, the king, Scott Angle, CTN Baseball's Matt Modica, I am Greg Sussman. Happy Monday to you. We are deep into June here, 5 days in, ready to rock. Panic is already set in. Feeling good here on a Monday morning. Corey, what's going on?
Hey, what's the deal, Greg? How's everything going? Just, excuse me, fantasy executive, warm up his vocal cords on a Monday morning. But I'm feeling good. Had a decent weekend, you know, got a lot of rest, you know, had a good time, had a nice brunch yesterday. So, fantasy. Does my mic sound funny, huh?
I thought it did.
But that's how I feel like my mic sound funny.
But then I raised my headset and it sounds fine.
All right, good. So I'm glad I'm sounding good to the people out there. I'm in the building. Oh, there we go. I like the way that sounded better just now. It must have touched something.
Yeah, must press the buttons.
Push it again because I'm hollow again.
Scotty, what's going on, man?
Good to see you back, Greg. I had a good weekend. Went to a little bit of an auto show where they had R2-D2 as well.
Nerd.
And that's a compliment. I appreciate it. And then yesterday went to see my mom, and then we went to Buffalo Wild Wings to watch the race and had a good time.
Scotty, I'm so happy you had a good weekend, man. I'm so happy you had a good weekend. You had a good time, went to the auto show, enjoyed yourself. Matty Mo, what's happening?
It was an okay weekend, nothing too exciting. Glad to welcome you back.
Can you move that button down a little bit, please?
What button?
The button down that's on there that you're wearing today. I want you to just...
It's a W.
Got the Bryce Harper
I
going.
I want to make it clear, it's a W.
It's a curly
this is
W.
Mr. Metz. Next to Mr.
Wearing
Metz over here.
Shirt.
Wearing a Bryce national Harper shirt. What are you doing? On the program.
Bryce Harper's like my favorite player in baseball.
Oh, boy.
See, Scott don't like
Scott,
that.
Scott, how do you feel about that?
Everybody's different. Not something I would do, especially like when you're talking about a rival team, you know, and within a division. So, you know, look, Matt does what he wants to do. I'm not his father or nothing. He can do what he wants to do, but not something I'm going to do.
Thank you for allowing me, Scott.
Yeah, thanks yeah. Scott.
What are you, his father?
Yeah.
Thank you. Your father?
Thank you, Scott.
Yeah. I'm walking here.
If that was me, you would have killed me if that was me, if I would have came in here, you know what I'm saying, representing one of my teams. You would have came at me.
Well, you know, it's different.
You'd
if
came
it's different
at me.
With you. It's
why like, is it different with me?
Because, like,
why?
You actually, like, you're a Knicks fan who, like, roots for Golden State.
He's a Mets fan wearing a national jersey.
That's my Western Conference team.
See, that's what fair weather... like lazy fans do. It's like, oh well, my first team isn't winning, so I have a second. You
the
know?
Only hat I won't wear is a Yankees hat, but I own like Dodger hats, Giant hats, Mariners hats.
A Phillies hat? You got a Phillies hat too?
No, I don't have a Phillies hat. No.
Not yet. You know, maybe one day. Hey, on the show today, a lot of football to get into, of course, baseball as well. We got a fun show here over the next 2 hours. You are not going to want to miss it when we come back. The biggest news of the weekend happened, of course, Friday afternoon. So we'll get into that. Jerry Macklin next on the Roto Experts in the Morning here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network and, of course, on the Fantasy Sports Network. So I hear this promo. I was out doing executive work outside.
Yeah, sorry.
And there's this promo. Scott, would you like to tell me what the promo said?
So you went away to Texas.
Well, let's see if they can play the promo
for
Greg.
They have a promo that they've been playing on the Fantasy Best Friends Forever. Where Corey commented what you would be doing out in Texas.
Let him play.
What you would be looking like and what you would be saying.
I didn't say what he'd be looking like.
Oh, yes, you did.
Fantasy Friends and Frenemies Unite.
It's the Fantasy Best Friends Forever.
Shout out to Greg Sussman.
He's going to a bachelor party.
Down in Austin. Austin is popping. Houston is cool, too, but I heard Austin, it really goes down.
I can't see Greg fitting in down there.
Greg in a cowboy hat?
Come on, guys. Let's go out and get some tofu.
Greg be down there all rich and Sorry, Greg.
You're going to lie to someone, Corey, now and say you didn't do nothing.
Yeah. When have you ever seen me eat tofu?
Never Let's go out and get some tofu.
Never seen you eat tofu, Greg. I was in the moment, Greg.
I ate
sorry.
A lot of barbecue food. Is that,
oh, that was a good
is
time.
That cool?
That's good time. Yeah, I had some barbecue
drink a lot yesterday. I drank a lot of beer. Is that cool?
That's cool. Okay. That's cool. Sorry, Greg.
Did you get a cowboy hat?
No, I didn't get a cowboy hat. No. A delicious taco. I had this fried chicken taco.
Oh, that sounds good.
That does sound good.
It was. Look at this picture here. Fancy Best Friends Forever. You saw him in the studio. He's in my spot.
Yeah, it was only one day.
You literally just take it over for me.
It's the Kevin Durant
yeah,
day.
Yeah, in Studio 34, we have a television, you know, that advertises different shows. And the Fantasy Best Friends Forever, Corey replaced Greg one day. It has Corey,
amazing.
Mike, and Frank instead of Greg, Mike,
this
and Frank.
This is unbelievable what you're trying
to take
do.
A picture today with
you're
you, Greg.
You're trying to replace
I'm not trying to replace you. I'm not here for that. I need you on my team.
I don't know. You have to call me out, man.
I'm just, I didn't call you out. I'm just having fun.
I had a nice time. I had a nice time in Austin.
I'm glad you did.
Yeah, I had a nice time.
I don't think I'll make a trip down there.
He showed it was very cool. Sixth Street. Good spot. It's basically Bourbon Street.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
Nice.
There's also a lot of beautiful women. That are
oh,
just,
yeah, that's crazy.
It was crazy.
I heard it's crazy down
everywhere
there.
You look, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's wild.
Right, let's go, Matt.
Let's do it.
I
we'll go see Jerry. Maybe we'll, you know,
hang yeah, we'll out. We'll do
for
something.
A steak dinner.
All right, then I call you rich as hell, too. All right. So, of course, basically, we're eating dinner. I remember this vividly. We're eating dinner on Friday night, I guess. And we're just kind of going through our phones, checking out our fantasy teams and whatnot, and reading Twitter.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, oh, crap. Jerry Macklin just got cut. And then you just hear everybody else, like, down the line, oh, crap, Jerry Macklin. Oh. And everyone kind of, within a few minutes of each other, they all see this news that Jerry Macklin was cut by the Chiefs. And I think we were all taken by major surprise. Of course, you guys talked about it on the Roto Experts Weekend Edition. And we're taken by surprise because it was unexpected, not because I think it's this massive, massive deal, but it's surprising nonetheless. Jerry Macklin was, without question, a major disappointment in fantasy football last year. After coming off a really good year 2 years ago, his first in Kansas City, comes out last year, people have high expectations as a strong wide receiver too. It doesn't happen. Now, this year, the buzzwords, in Kansas City have been Tyreek and Hill. Not Jerry Macklin. Macklin was just the steadying force that, if anything, was going to take away targets from Tyreek Hill. He no longer exists. There's a lot to unpack here. Let's start with the Macklin side before we get into the Hill side and everything else going on in Kansas City. Scotty, I'll start with you. Number one, did it surprise you? Number two, what happens now to Jerry Macklin?
Number one, it did surprise me because they just signed the guy to a 5-year deal, and it's not like they have a lot of depth in that wide receiver crew. Of course, they have Kelce. And they have Hill, but you want to command more defensive attention than just that, and especially Andy Reid was just at his wedding, too. Like, no sign really was coming. And I think what happens now is, first they talked about Baltimore, and now they're talking about Buffalo, which makes a lot of sense because you have Sammy Watkins and Zay Jones there, but you want more depth than that. You know, Buffalo's a team that even took a flyer on Percy Harvin last year. If Sammy Watkins cannot stay healthy, you know, there's a concern. Another concern, you just bring in a rookie. If Watkins can stay healthy and you have a veteran receiver in there, Macklin, and you got Zay Jones, all of a sudden this Buffalo wide receiver crew becomes more impressive, I think.
I know, Matt, of course, you're the Buffalo Bills fans. We'll go to you next here. Jerry Macklin, the rumor is LeSean McCoy trying to recruit him, of course, to Buffalo, play together in Philadelphia. And Scotty mentioned Baltimore as the first landing spot, then Buffalo comes down. I think both these spots make a ton of sense, and giving Tyrod Taylor more weapons is without question a no-brainer.
Well, I mean, Baltimore makes a ton of sense because they just lost 121 targets from last season with Pitta. He's done, and you know, getting that, they only have Wallace and Bashard Perryman, so that would be a nice get for them. For Buffalo, I think it improves his fantasy stock, even as a number two wide receiver. I had him just inside my top 50 for wide receivers, but I'm going to go with the mindset that Watkins is healthy and he's going to play. I'm not going to draft scared. But even
that's silly when it comes to Sammy Watkins,
you know,
for the record.
All you need is that 1 year, and The other thing is, in that, in with Buffalo, I mean, Zay Jones would be the loser out of this. But, I mean, Macklin would give them a legitimate wide receiver core for maybe the first time in what seems like a decade. So, as a Bills fan, I'm pretty happy. And just to highlight Sammy Watkins in 2015, those last nine games, I mean, the dude put up 900 yards. He averaged 9 targets, 5 receptions, and 100 yards and a touchdown during that span. So this is an extremely talented guy with over 18 yards per reception, 11.5 per target when healthy. So I am not going to go off the Sammy Watkins bandwagon.
Yeah, that nine-game stretch at the end of 2015, only wide receiver that did better was Julio Jones.
That was also like 7 foot surgeries ago.
And Dr. A made the case when he broke down Julio Jones' foot and Sammy Watkins' foot, and it was a totally different
I feel what
animal.
You're saying, Matt, but Julio's been able to play through it. Sammy Watkins can't get on the field with it.
You are correct, but in the third round?
Yeah.
If he's a mid-third round pick, I'm taking him every time because I can get a possible first-round return there.
All right.
Corey.
What's the deal?
Where would you take Jeremy Maclin, you drafting today? Where do you take Jeremy Maclin, if at all?
Oh, I wouldn't touch Jeremy Maclin. He doesn't have a team. I can't draft a player that doesn't have a team, so wait to see how this situation shake out, obviously. I'm in a slow draft right now, so if he does sign and I'm on the clock, I'll consider it, moving forward from that point.
Where was he going before he got cut?
Before he got cut, he was dropping into the 9th, 10th round range. Obviously, member of Kansas City. Alex Smith is limited. Jeremy Maclin coming off a poor season last year. That offense just doesn't fit him right now. He gets a chance. He gets an opportunity. The important thing with Maclin is Macklin's fantasy value will go up because he'll be with a, hopefully, he gets with a team that can use him better, more offensive firepower. Also, Travis Kelce is my number one tight end right now. I think Travis Kelce is going to eat up the targets. He's going to be the most targeted pass catcher in Kansas City. And also so that these guys Hunt and we're going to be catching catching a lot of footballs too. And if he goes to Baltimore, not so much, but that's where I think Travis Kelce benefits from this. I think the backs in Kansas City benefits from this, and ultimately Maclin will benefit when he lands up in a new spot.
So let's hit Kelce next, because that's a great point. You've moved Kelce up to your number one tight end. Now, you've been very, very honest and clear. You are not a Gronk guy.
No.
You don't believe in him. He's always hurt, and you don't like the return on your purchase when you draft him. Travis Kelce, 1,000% agree with you. He's going to soak up the majority of Jeremy Maclin's targets. Not that it was plentiful by any means, but Travis Kelce is the biggest weapon out, along with Tyreek Hill, that exists in Kansas City. All I read this weekend while kind of prepping for the show and kind of getting back in the swing of things when I got home was how Tyreek Hill's value is just going to soar through the roof. I didn't read enough about Travis Kelce, to be honest with you, because I totally agree with Corey, Scotty, that Kelce's value, he should be. And I don't know, I wanted to ask you guys, already he was with Gronk and he was with Jordan Reed up there. Do you agree with Corey, Scotty, that he should surpass these two guys?
Here's two things about this. Number one, I still take Gronk number one because he produces best when he's on the field, but I'm not going to make a play for Gronk where he's going to go. So to me, Kelce is not ranked number one overall to me, but he makes the first sense as your possible tight end to target off the board if you don't want to deal with those Gronk sort of problems, those Jordan Reed sort of problems. And I understand where Corey's coming from because he always talks about Greg Olsen in the past. Is this a guy you want durable? Wait till Gronk and Reed are off the board, even if they're ranked 1-2, and feel safer with Kelce. The difference between Kelce and Hill is, if I'm a defensive coordinator, if I'm a safety lining up and deposing the Kansas City Chiefs, and I know that Travis Kelce is getting the ball. Well, Travis Kelce has already shown me with 2-3 defenders coming at him, he's going to catch the ball and do his thing and carry those guys on his back. With Tyreek Hill, people were saying that all of a sudden he gets bumped up. Now Tyreek Hill's going to be facing top cover corners, top coverages. I don't have the confidence fully that Tyreek Hill can handle that increased defensive attention where I feel as Kelce can.
Kelce also coming off off-season shoulder surgery, but should be good to go for training camp.
Yeah, I mean, he's just another. That's the problem with Jordan Reed and the problem with Rob Gronkowski.
The problem with all the tight ends.
Kelce, the problem with Tyler Eifert. He can't stay healthy. None of them.
Well, when did Kelce even miss the game, though?
Four games without Maclin last season, Travis Kelce averaged 10 targets, 6 receptions, 95 yards. That's 15.5 points in a PPR.
I like Travis Kelce. I'm in on him. When we come back, Scott kind of alluded to it here. I want to get into Tyreek Hill. What happens to his value? You also mentioned Dennis Pitta's injury in Baltimore. I want to get into that as well. This is the Roto Experts in the Morning here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. And, of course, on TV on the Fantasy Sports Network.
Hi, I'm Keon Broxton, and you're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Roto Experts in the Morning, breaking down the Jerry Macklin news from over the weekend. Of course, getting to the baseball as well this morning. But let's stick with Kansas City here for a moment. Scott just made a statement about Tyreek Hill. I want to break it down. The biggest benefactor, according to Twitter and fantasy news sites and stats and whatnot, was that Tyreek Hill's already soaring value is going to soar even higher with the elimination of Jerry Macklin from the Chiefs. Tyreek Hill becomes the de facto number one wide receiver on a team that, let's be honest, doesn't really use a number one wide receiver. It kind of just has a bleh offense. Tyreek Hill last year was a spark plug. He was somebody that we spoke about in great detail last week, guys, that he was a player we had no idea how to rank. We had no idea what to pick. Corey said, listen, he's the perfect wide receiver. If I could start with zero RB theory, draft wide receiver, wide receiver, wide receiver, and then get Tyreek Hill in the fifth round, I'm interested in that.
I had a chance to do it this weekend, and I didn't do it.
But that's what you said. That was the perfect spot for Tyreek Hill. That's going to change now because he's not going to be there anymore.
He was still there this weekend.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
I started T.Y. Hilton, Dez Bryant, Michael Crabtree. In the fourth round, I took Isaiah Crowell, my guy, as my RB1. When I came back in the fifth, I had a choice between Tevin Coleman and Tyreek Hill. And I went with my second running back in Tevin Coleman, and Tyreek Hill went with the next pick.
Okay.
So I could have did it there.
So,
but at I wanted that second running back.
And that's fine. So at least this weekend then, given where you saw him in the fifth round, the value didn't go up for Tyreek Hill at all. Because that's where he was going. That's where he was going and has been going.
I think some people still don't think that he is the kind of guy that can get, you know, 8-9 receptions a game. I think people still look at him as a player that is a one-pop Charlie.
Matt,
like Scott.
If that's true.
No, I got a second for you, honey.
If that's true, and Tyreek Hill's value didn't change, and people believe what Corey's saying, listen, he's not an 8-reception guy, a 9-reception guy. We agree, all the table, Travis Kelce's going to soak this up a little bit. Somebody else is going to get more targets as well. Should we be talking about an Albert Wilson?
I don't know about the other receivers, the Albert Wilsons, Chris Connolly, is it? You know, I don't really know. I know in my slow draft in whatever, the 26th round when the news broke, the guy who was on the clock and took Connolly was all excited, like he just hit the lotto or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
But the thing with Tyreek Hill, his last 8 games, I mean, he was targeted. He averaged 7 targets, 5 receptions for 45 yards. You know, he rushed the ball. I mean, he rushed the ball twice. You know, he averaged 2 rushes a game for 28 yards. He is not a number one wide receiver. Will his stock improve a bit? Absolutely. But as I mentioned in the break, if he's running down the field wide open, is Alex Smith going to get him the ball? I mean, his last 5 touchdowns were like from 68 yards or more last season. So you're asking a lot. There's got to be some touchdown regression. I think he can take it to the house at any point. But I think he's a better player with a number one wide receiver in your system.
And a lot of people are naturally going to bump up Tyreek Hill because he goes up on the depth chart. But again, like I said, defenses are going to know this. We've talked a lot about Alex Smith, et cetera. This doesn't strike me as a guy who can be a consistent target with an expanded role. I'm going to think about when Percy Harvin was in Minnesota, because we talked about gadget players, and we kind of all put him in a mold last week. The guys that to take handoffs, stuff like that. And when Corey talks about how Tyler Lockett's not going to burn him again, you know, this is basically like pushing a Tyler Lockett up into a more premier role. And I don't think you can trust a guy like that when he's going to become the bigger focus of the offense, bigger focus of the defense, and the quarterback has limited range.
Trust, I agree, you can't. You can't ignore either. But, okay, if you move him up, who like him more than you like Dante Moncrief?
No.
You like him more than you like Emmanuel Sanders?
No.
You like him more than you like Golden Tate?
In a PPR, no. In a standard, I'll take Hill.
All right, you like him more than you like Brandon Marshall?
That's almost a tie to me.
How about Stephon Diggs? Marshall in a
PPO. Oh, he's way ahead of Stephon Diggs.
I don't want Stephon Diggs. I feel like Stephon Diggs plays good for a few weeks and then totally disappears.
You guys underestimate Stephon Diggs.
Well, Stephon Diggs did say that he was hurt last year and that was why, and it's on him to stay healthy.
I just
don't
want to
invest in these Kansas City, Minnesota. Like, I'm not going too deep into these teams to get fantasy value because you can't trust their quarterbacks.
You know, I want Kelce and I want Hunt from Kansas City.
That's it. Other than that, you can keep the
rest. He's
going to
have a spot where he makes sense.
Let me ask you this, Scotty. Hill or Martavis Bryant?
I love the upside of returning Martavis Bryant. I do. I really. I'm going to go Bryant.
That's a guy. Bryant, by the way, Martavis Bryant's name is going to just shoot up boards.
Yeah. Bryant. Yeah. So there's no place for Hill to move up. He's kind of stuck where he's at.
But there, like we say, there are people that are going to say now with Macklin out, he's going to move up. He's a number one on Kansas City.
Yeah.
So there are going to be people. If I could get him maybe in the sixth round, that for me might be the ideal spot.
He's not the type of receiver that Macklin is either. I would do it in 5 or 6. He's not the type of receiver that Macklin is either. He's different. He's explosive, but he doesn't run as good routes as Jeremy Macklin.
Hey, man, I got something. The slow draft, I'm an NFFC slow draft I'm in right now. Your boy Sammy Watkins, this is right here. You're going to get upset when I tell you this. He went in the fourth round.
No, I'm
sorry. He went in the fourth round, not the third, the fourth round.
That's even better. I mean, but I'm probably going to take him in the third round. I mean, I'm going to look at... I mean, I think Demaryius Thomas is great and stuff like that, but I'm not big on that passing situation. They have the number one defense. We all agree they're still number one in football, the Broncos. And if the running game is improved with that line, I don't think they have to throw it as much. You still have Sanders there. I'm gonna take the shot. I know it's a gamble. But I'm betting on talent.
Yes, and scared money don't win money.
It's kind of like when you draft Giancarlo Stanton. Oh, he's never healthy. He never makes it through a full season. Right now, the guy's batting .290 with 15 home runs. If he can make it through a full season, you're really going to get a nice return on your investment there in the third round.
Let's talk about Baltimore here now for a moment. Because as Jerry Macklin, while he was cut over the weekend, same kind of thing happened to Dennis Pitta, where you see this tweet or you see this update, and you're like, damn. Not that it has a major effect on Dennis Pitta, but like, that sucks. This is a dude that worked his way back from two of these monster hip surgeries. And now basically, same thing happens. It's now a third. Baltimore, we kept expecting them to upgrade this offense, whether at wide receiver or running back or tight end. They didn't. They didn't really do anything except for one move. Now remember, Dennis Pitta was the master of the 6 catches for 30 yards. The PPR darling that did nothing else outside of the PPR. Like,
he didn't even do anything in the PPR.
Yeah, he averaged like 7 yards a catch.
Well, it was crazy. It was crazy. But nevertheless, he was a name that you had to think about because he had, I believe, like more targets than anybody, seemingly. He had 226 targets, I want to say, at some point. Now, those have to go somewhere. And the one name that, of course, comes to my mind, and I'm sure many of your mind as well, is Danny Woodhead, right? Like, this is the guy. You have invested in him, Matt Modica, relatively early, and I thought, to be honest with you, a little bit too early. Now, with Dennis Pitta gone, again, those targets have to be soaked up. This is an offense that does like to check down and throw a lot of 7 yards, as you mentioned, Corey. 7 yard outs. That's Danny Woodhead territory.
Yeah, no, I'm very happy that I got Danny Woodhead in the sixth round. Look, the health is an issue. He needs to stay on the field. Maybe it's like every other year that he does stay healthy, so maybe some stupid thing like that will come true. But more importantly, I want to lose a guy I think is a really good fit for this team is Gary Barnage.
I'd like to
see him end up in Baltimore. I mean, Jeremy Macklin as well would really help this wide receiving core. Because, I mean, I'm still not really in on Breshad Perriman. I know there was talent there and both. Stuff. But, I think they definitely could. And, I mean, Flacco, if they got a Macklin, he's shown, even with Wallace, he can throw the deep ball well.
Sure.
It's just he never really does. But,
he can throw the deep ball well, but the issue here is that you don't have a chain mover. You know, Breshad Perriman's a deep guy. Mark Wallace is a deep guy. That makes all the sense to pick Woodhead, you know, even if they add another guy. But if you're not throwing to Woodhead, who are you throwing to? Barnage makes perfect sense. Macklin makes perfect sense. I don't know the Ravens are going to do anything, but I think they should sign one of those two guys.
Well, the thing about it is, I don't think Dennis Pitta was in their plans anyway, because Pitta was on his last, you know, no last pun intended. Hit. He was on his way out. He took a pay cut to come back with the team this year. That's never a good sign that you were really going to be a big piece of the offense anyway. Obviously, Gary Barnage being out there, but the Buffalo Bills are interested in Gary Barnage also. Charles Clay is likely going to start the season on the PUP list. So that's another. So, I mean, we got the same teams. We got Baltimore and Buffalo more or less trying to jockey for these two pieces with Jeremy Maclin and Gary Barnage. Both teams need them, so it'll be interesting to see where they end up at. Kenneth Dixon comes back, Kenneth Dixon takes over the offense in Baltimore. That's the only one I want.
I'm telling you, you won't win.
He's played 21 games in 3 years.
Ignore him.
You can't ignore him because it's not just Pitta. It's also Steve Smith's targets that go away, too. It's Kamar Aiken's targets that go away as well. This is a lot of guys that Baltimore have lost and replaced with nobody outside of Danny Woodhead.
Real quick, the guy you just mentioned, Kamar Aiken, him going to the Colts. I was looking at it this weekend and going through some things. I think, you know, he probably will end up as the number three. And what's his name? Better get it done this season.
Philip Dorsett.
Yeah, Philip Dorsett. I'm have no confidence. So I think Aiken was a guy we kind of, I mean, at least I kind of liked going into last season.
Same.
And it didn't work out. But he showed in 2015 what he can do with the opportunity and getting put into that offense. He's going to put some heat on Moncrief. He better deliver.
I like Aiken late.
I wanted to like Aiken last year. It obviously didn't happen. I wanted to like Philip Dorsett last year. That obviously didn't happen. As I just mentioned, though, kind of wrapping it all up, I like Danny Woodhead, man. I know he has to stay healthy. You're 100% right about that. But he's going to be on the field a lot. For the Baltimore Ravens, they are going to do what they can to keep him.
It comes down to your own personal philosophy, like Matt was talking about. I don't want Stanton. You know, maybe I'll have second thoughts about Woodhead, but if you want to take the risk, the production will be there in both sports.
All right, there you go. When we return here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, we're going to go inside the Exclusive Edge package. The Roto Expert Exclusive Edge package is available June 14th for you. We need a sneak preview of Bobby McMahon's article when we come back. This is the Roto Experts in the Morning. This is the Fantasy Sports Network. Return here on the Roto Experts in the Morning, and of course, the Roto Experts Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package drops on June 14th, and inside we have just some absolutely exquisite information for you, and it is a must-own for fantasy players if you want to get the leg up on the competition. And we are not, and I've done this many, many times in the past, I have bashed magazines that just publish and come out now because they're written in April. They have no information that I find useful. I laugh at Scotty. I'm first person to acknowledge it. I laugh at Scotty when he sits and buys and he tells us he reads it on the subway because I think the information is outdated. If he purchases the Exclusive Edge Roto Experts package, comes out on June 14th. But it doesn't just stop on June 14th. We update information legitimately all summer. You have Jake Seeley, one of the best rankers in the industry, updating his rankings literally all of the time throughout the summer. You have Scott's insider reports all throughout the summer. Everybody that writes this package updates their content throughout the summer. There's not a one purchase thing and nothing gets updated. All summer long, every article will be updated, Scotty.
Yeah, and I'll do stuff like my bowl predictions, things like that. You know, we got a lot of the great writers in there, including Mike Florio, Bobby McMahon, you know, guys, award-winning guys like one best fantasy football series from the FSWA last year, Brandon Murchison. So it'll be a constant flow of information throughout the preseason. Full database, sortable projections, and a cheat sheet generator.
So you have all that. And again, I can't stress it enough. It's not just a one-time thing, right? Like, it is going to be updated all throughout the summer. So get in now, and you can see the trends. But other people won't get to see this. You get to see the trends from where it starts to where it ends. Today, I want to look at the breakout players that Bobby McMahon has written for the Fantasy Football Exclusive Edge Package. Again, available here on June 14th. And we were just talking about Kamar Aiken to Indianapolis as the third wide receiver. And Scott and somebody asked Scotty, like, are we still in on Dante Moncrief after last year's disappointment? Moncrief was on this list for so many people last year, right? He was his big breakout candidate last year. Bobby McMahon has gone back to the well again with Dante Moncrief. Let me give you the paragraph that he wrote. Moncrief was a disappointment last year, despite scoring a touchdown. I guess you don't like the Bobby McMahon.
Maybe you need to like, Scott was like Bobby McMahon putting me to sleep.
Dante Moncrief was a disappointment last year, despite scoring a touchdown in 7 of 9 games, because that was pretty much the only thing he brought to the table. Now, entering his fourth season, a lot will be once again expected from Moncrief alongside T.Y. Hilton. Playing with Andrew Luck and being a preferred red zone target are all playing in Moncrief's favor. The 24-year-old, he's still 24, 24-year-old might fall into your fantasy draft because of a disappointing 2016, but he is an ideal wide receiver 4 with upside. I'll go first. I don't think you're getting Dante Moncrief as a wide receiver 4. That's the problem. Is he an ideal wide receiver 4? Yes. No doubt about it with upside. I don't think, even with last year's disappointments, you get that. In order to break out, we need him to become the wide receiver, high wide receiver 2 we expected him to. Problem is, T.Y. Hilton's not slowing down. Corey, you are the biggest T.Y. Hilton fan here at this table. I know that. You absolutely love T.Y. Hilton.
Man crush Monday.
Are you also man crushing Dante Moncrief again?
Post-hype sleeper. Yep. Listen, he had, he played 7 games last year? No, he's played 9 games, scored 7 touchdowns, had 10 red zone targets, just like that. They throw the football to the guy when he's in the red zone. You may be able to get him as a 4 if you want him, though. I think you're safer as a 3. Obviously, you got to take into consideration Andrew Luck more than likely will not be participating in a lot of training camp, but this is the same offense. If he can stay healthy, he has wide receiver 2, low-end wide receiver 2 potential. So I think Dante Moncrief is a player that can break out in 2017. I agree with Mr. McMahon on that.
All right.
I'm post-hype sleeper. I'm not all the way back
in yet.
Where is
he going right now?
Because I love T.Y. Hilton. Right now, he's going in about the 5th round of drafts.
About the 5th round of drafts. Okay. Scotty, Dante Moncrief. I think post-hype sleeper is the perfect way to describe this guy. Sour taste in a lot of his owner's mouths right now, so I thought maybe there would be some value. Of course, the 5th round is not wide receiver 4 or whatnot. 5th round is probably a wide receiver 3 in PPR leagues, where they're going. Are you back in on Dante Moncrief?
To a degree, I think I certainly am. I think Corey put it perfectly, post-type sleeper. You said you can't get him as wide receiver 4. I think you have to remember context on that. Maybe in a draft with us,
this is true.
No. Maybe in a mainstream draft, you can't get him as a wide receiver 4. They like to throw to him with inside the 20-yard line, but I believe he has more potential than that. I think he can separate. I think he can catch the ball downfield. As long as Andrew Luck stays healthy, I think this guy becomes a part of offense. To me, if you love T.Y. Hilton, that doesn't mean you don't love Dante Moncrief. This team's going to throw the ball a heck of a lot.
I think that was the logic last year, right? Mm-hmm. That this team's going to throw the ball a heck of a lot, so much, so often, that both Dante Moncrief and T.Y. Hilton are going to be major, major factors in this offense. But the offense was broken last year with the offensive line struggles, with Andrew Luck inability to stay healthy. Moncrief's inability to stay healthy. This offense in itself was broken. If the offense gets fixed, Matt, I could see Dante Moncrief really breaking out again.
Yeah, there's the reasons I'll be in on him. One is the opportunity you just mentioned. He's going to get opportunity there. He had the shoulder injury, so I could say, you know what, he was hurt. You look at his touchdowns, and pretty much they all came, 5 of the 7, inside the 5. One was from the 8-yard line, and the other one was from the 24-yard line. So he's definitely somebody that is trusted inside the red zone, and I do agree. He has a wider appeal than that. You know, if Luck is fully healthy, he's fully healthy. I think the acquisition of Aiken, too, you got a really good wide receiver core there. I don't think the running game is that improved. I mean, Frank Gore's, what, 34 years old? I know they got Marlon Mack. So I still think they're going to be throwing the ball. I mean, there's Jack Doyle. He's a trusted red zone guy too. I think so.
I'll tell you this in regards to my man Jackie Doyle. Again, you know I love Jack Doyle. Bobby McMahon wrote this: with the trade of Dwayne Allen to New England, former basketball player Eric Swoop will have a chance for the increased reps behind Jackie D. My words, of course, not his, with Jackie D. Scott would never allow that in an article. While Doyle will work as the methodical chain mover, Swoop offers more playmaking ability and red zone appeal. He's a tight end to watch closely. I remember, and you guys, and Corey and Scott didn't remember this, I was all in on Dwayne Allen last year. Like, he was one of my guys. I didn't draft any tight end, basically, outside of Dwayne Allen and Kyle Rudolph. I was in on too. Dwayne Allen, I remember this. I sat here during week one as Jack Doyle, touchdown after touchdown after touchdown, and I'm throwing everything I have because I read the offense right. I had the wrong tight end. Is that going to happen to me again, Matt?
I don't think so. I mean, this is a rookie. That's the first thing. So, and like I said, it's all about trust. They gave him a deal. I think the other kid is talented, but they've had two tight ends in their system pretty much since forever. Luck's been there.
Yeah.
So I'm not really threatened by it yet. I think for 2017, Doyle is the guy. He's a nice guy, right outside the top 10 of tight ends, I think, if you wait on the position. And like I said, but just getting wrapping up Moncrief real quick, I think the opportunity and his price is why I'll be back. If he starts shooting up, then I'd probably be a little hesitant.
Scotty, you know I always like these crappy tight ends, right? Like going back to the Gary Barnage days, I've always been on these crappy tight ends.
You would have made the call on Gary Barnage and you had the breakout.
Thank you. So going back to those days, I always liked these crappy tight ends, and that's why I like Jack Doyle. I see all these signs that he should be good. Should I be worried about Eric Swoop?
I think you have to because like as Matt alluded to, for as long as Luck has been there, they've run a lot of two tight end sets. My concern is, and knowing how the tight end has operated in the Luck offense over the years with the two tight ends, you don't know who's going to be in any given week. I've seen these tight ends like have big games and stuff like that, and then disappear for a few weeks and have some really bad ones. I worry that there's two tight ends there, and they're both going to hurt each other.
This is what's going to happen. It's going to be the first Sunday. It's going to be the first Sunday of the NFL season, and you're going to be watching the games and stuff like that. And all of a sudden, you're going to look on Twitter, and Jack Doyle owners are going to be tweeting, "Oh my God, who the F is Eric Swoop?"
It's the same thing as last year.
It's going to be the same thing. Eric Swoop will be this year. Will be this season's Jack Doyle. He will be. He's going to pop off the waiver wire, and he's going to have value. So. He's going to be Eric Swoop is going to be a thing. They run two tight ends. Swoop, big athletic kid. He's going to be in the mix. Like Matt mentioned, they have enough throws in that offense to satisfy and support everybody. Mainly T.Y. Hilton. Let's make sure we got that part covered right there. But nah, Swoop is going to be in the mix. Swoop is going to be. If you don't draft him, you better make sure that you head to the waiver wire and get him because Swoop is going to be a thing this year.
The issue is you're going to say it's going to be week one. People are going to be going, "Who the hell is Eric Swoop?" In week three, they're going to be like, "Oh, there's Jack Doyle. What happened to Swoop?"
Oh, yeah. It's going to be both. Absolutely. It's going to be both. Yeah.
Absolutely, totally.
It's not going to be consistent. Neither player. The Titans aren't consistent.
And then in week five, it's going to be like, well, neither one of them did anything this week.
I like Jack Doyle, as I have said. But a name that you have liked, and the last name we'll talk about from Bobby McMahon's article, which you can read in full inside the Roto Experts Exclusive Edge package on June 14th, Austin Hooper. Played sparingly as a rookie, but there were enough glimpses of his potential to think about a year two breakout. He has the size of an ideal move tight end with a massive pass-catching ceiling in the Falcons' powerhouse offense. If I miss out on the premium tight ends, I'm happy to wait into the later rounds and grab Austin
Hooper. It's not going to be consistent, but Hooper is a player that I'm going to take a dollar, make you holler a little bit later on. I'm not going into a season with him as my main tight end, but Hooper will be on a ton of my benches. The Atlanta offense, two running backs, Julio Jones, and then the rest of it, they kind of figure out. But Hooper's going to be involved in the red zone. I believe he had a touchdown in the Super Bowl when they were winning the game. he's athletic, a big athletic tight end. They're going to figure out a way to get him involved in the football because he has a lot of sleeper potential, and I think Hooper's a player that you should not leave on draft boards.
Would you rather own Jack Doyle or Austin Hooper?
Huh?
Would you rather own Jack Doyle or Austin Hooper?
Jack Doyle.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I still like Jack Doyle. I just want to say that. I think if you miss out on the top 10, he's right there, 11, 12, 13 range.
See, I got him at 16 because I know I think Swoop is coming.
I'll probably have him higher than that.
Hooper's going to become a key part of that offense in terms of moving the chains and catching passes over the middle. I like him.
When we come back, we go at the park with the King, Roto Experts Exclusive Edge, because he goes to the park to talk to Eric Thames. Eric Thames is next on the Roto Experts in the Morning.
You can cut them over to the floor.
Roto Experts at the park each and every morning here at 8:55 a.m. Eastern Time. And last week we brought some fantastic interviews for you. This week may be one of the ones I'm looking forward to the most. And that is hearing from superstar, because that's what he is, superstar Eric Thames, who, let's be honest, he goes on this power binge in April. We knew it would slow down, right? Like, he wasn't going to hit literally a home run a day every single day. And yet, he goes into the slump, and here he is back out of it now. He's got a homer, a couple of homers here over the weekend. And Scotty, you had an opportunity to catch up with Eric Thames.
Yes, and talk to Eric Thames about the changes, and in, not only in hitting approach, but in routine, after spending a few years in Korea where he became a major star and his nickname became God. But I spoke to Eric Thames about the adjustments that he had to make coming back from Korea to the major leagues.
I'm trying to. I mean, these pitches are tough. I mean, they're all throwing. Everybody's throwing 100 with nasty off-speed and stuff. So it's difficult, but yeah, it's my goal every day to swing good pitches.
You feel like you're a different hitter now than when you were last year in the States?
Definitely.
How so, like approach-wise?
Just, you know, trying to swing good pitches, not put too much pressure on myself. That's pretty much it, like staying flexible, staying athletic. I wasn't really athletic physically. When I was coming up, I was really bulky and tight. So, yeah, I made big adjustments on that.
Now, in the first month of the season, he had 345 with 11 homers and 19 RBIs. Down second month, 229 with 3 home runs and 9 RBIs, including a 3-for-37 stretch with no extra base hits. Now, I also spoke, and you can hear this also on demand on a Google Play, etc., iTunes, Audio Boom. These are all being posted today. Thomas Hodricourt, who covers the Brewers for the Journal Sentinel, said I extensively spoke to him about a lot of players, and he said, look, he dealt with strep throat during the last month. He dealt with other injuries. You can expect a bounce back real soon. But it's a very interesting interview. You have to listen to the whole thing with Eric Thames, because he talks about not only adjustments in plate discipline, routine, everything that he's adjusted to since he's had to come back.
Let's remember, along what Scott was just saying, in that month of May, Eric Thames, and this happens to players all the time, where it's a long season. Like, guys get sick. He had strep throat. He had hamstring tightness. He had thigh tightness and quad tightness. He was banged up. He was, you know, he wasn't physically feeling great. Now, June's rolled around. He's feeling a little better, Matt.
Well, here's an interesting stat, April versus May. In April, 18 walks, 23 strikeouts. In May, 16 walks, 22 strikeouts. The approach is the same. You had a wonderful buying opportunity. If you missed out, that was on you. But if you could still get him, I'd go after him.
And also, and we used to talk about this on the old show at the other platform, whenever I interview a guy, it seems like that night he'll homer. And last week when I interviewed Eric Thames and Keon Broxton, they both homered that night. And Thames now hit 2 homers in the last week.
Is your nickname Lucky Chomps?
I guess so. Magically delicious.
So there you go. Eric Thames at the park. You can hear the entire interview, as Scott mentioned, on demand in the Google Play Store, iTunes, Audio Boom, SoundCloud, wherever you want to listen to. Wherever you listen to us, you can listen to all of the Roto Experts at the park by and with the king, Scott Engel. I'm glad you interviewed Tom Hodricourt, because I think he does a fantastic job for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel.
He does. Great interview with him. He'll talk about Jonathan Villar's slow start. He talks about Thames. He talks about Nabel. And also, for those of you interested, he talks about when we might see Lewis Brinson.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah. Hey, that is one you are not going to want to miss. Who do we got tomorrow on the program?
Later this week, we'll have Keon Broxton,
okay,
Jimmy Nelson, and Travis Shaw.
There you go. Those three really good players on this Brewers team. It's off to a very good start here in 2017. When we return, we'll get hour number two. We're going to have some baseball from the weekend. Who did we pick up? Who do we mean to pick up? Who do I want to drop? The answer is a lot of people. We'll do all of that when we return for hour number two here on the Roto Experts in the Morning.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
In the beginning, there was darkness. Then, out of the void, came fire, smoke, Roto. Fantasy excellence begins here.
This is your time.
The Roto Experts in the Morning starts now.
Hour number two of the Roto Experts in the Morning.
Deuce.
He's here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Dubs up.
Dubs up. Dub Nation. Get up. Because you talk about hour number two. How about the Warriors now up 2-0 over the Cleveland Cavaliers? And at times, I watched this whole game last night, and at times it was close, but it never really felt close, Corey. Because I never thought the Warriors at any point had any chance of losing last night.
When Klay is hitting the shot, and you got Kevin Durant playing out of this world, and a healthy Steph Curry, once Klay starts hitting that shot, it's going to be tough to beat. I thought Cleveland was going to try to slow the game down last night.
They did the opposite.
They actually tried to speed the game up, mm-hmm. which you
play right in their hands.
You're going to get blown out if you do that.
And they got blown out.
And they got blown out. But this thing still has to get back to Cleveland. And funny things happen when you're in the finals. So it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. But this is looking like a... But last year this time, I think the Warriors had two wins. It was 2-0. Mm-hmm. And the Warriors had won both the two games by 48 points. Combined, so I mean, it's still a lot of basketball left.
A lot of basketball left. I'm confident in my 5-game prediction where you said LeBron would be mad at me, but we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. What did you think of the Warriors' performance this weekend, Scotty?
Well, it was close at halftime, but once again, the third quarter was the key. And Klay hit his shots, and he wasn't doing that in the first game. So they become that much more difficult to beat, even though LeBron throwing a triple-double down there. But then again, we have to go back to Cleveland. People who are saying the series is over, got to look at back what you said from last year. Cleveland can easily tie this thing up in the next two games.
Well, first off, it's still a series until somebody loses a home game.
Absolutely. The series doesn't start until someone loses at home.
But the play of the night was when Steph Curry dribbled around LeBron. That was pretty crazy.
That was sick. He was pumped up after that.
Yeah. Well, after every time he went to the basket last year and got a shot blocked, he finally felt good to get one off against LeBron.
Speaking of LeBron, a little post-game controversy for him. He refused to go to the podium. He said it has nothing to do with the result of the game. He said, I'm just sick of waiting for people to get off the damn podium for the podium to get set up. I'm happy to do interviews with you. Happy to do it in the locker room. Snapped at a guy for asking a stupid question. But LeBron James refused Corey last night to go to the podium.
Yeah, I think locker room situation. I think he went to talk to the locker room because when you go to the podium, you get a whole bunch of mix of different media. Sure. And I'm quite sure he probably didn't want to answer a question about that asshole Jason Whitlock.
You think so?
Yeah.
You think they asked him that after the game? They wouldn't ask him it before, like today?
Huh?
To me, that's, the Whitlock question is like a... Is like a off day question,
and that's why I think he stayed in the locker room because he'd have went to the podium. I think the podium is more people in the podium that's in that room. They may not know the, this is the post game. We talk about the game,
okay?
Because you get a lot
it's
of TMZ.
It's also easier for the player to handle it when it's just right up in his face, sure. Where PR is picking out people when he's on the podium.
That's a good point. Take a break. We'll come back. Let's talk some baseball here next during the Roto Experts in the Morning. We gotta stop with this nonsense.
What's that?
This Pharrell happy nonsense.
Yeah.
Can we get something like Song of the Summer 2017 rather than 2014? Is that so much to ask?
Is there a Song of the Summer for 2017?
Yeah, I think right now I think you're not gonna like it.
What is it?
I'm thinking it's Despacito.
Huh?
Despacito.
Okay, who sings this?
It's Daddy Yankee with the hook by Bieber.
Daddy Yankee.
We'll be going
Despacito and a bunch of Spanish.
We going reggaeton this year.
No, it's awesome. Yeah, it's really good. If I had to pick one song of summer right now, that's
Daddy Yankee, Gasolina.
Yeah, I remember that. It kind of sounds like that.
Yeah,
but it's Despacito.
De Gasolina.
It's awesome. Baseball.
Yeah, this song is breaking records. I just looked it up.
Despacito's.
Yeah,
I'm telling you right now.
Hey,
that's probably the song of the summer. The waiver wires for many leagues, if it runs a particular day, probably was Sunday night. So let me ask the table. Gentlemen, you are all in major leagues, of course. Corey, we just talked about during the break, fourth place in Tout Wars, 10 points or so out of first, so he's feeling good. I got to ask the table, of course, Matty Modica in a lot of NFBC leagues, and he's at the top there. Scotty and I, of course, fighting and positioning in our GST league here. Where did you go this week, Matt Modica, when it comes to the waiver wire?
I went to
turn that mic on, though.
Damn it.
No, don't worry about it, Madika. We got you back.
I went back on the Tyler Motter expedition. He's going to be playing with Segura out of probably at least a month to maybe even 2 months. So I went there. I won him, and I won him quite close. It was kind of nice. I bid 56 in one league. The runner-up was 55. I bid 40 in another. The runner-up was 35. So I got him. Another guy I got, I really wasn't trying to get him. He was one of my conditional picks further down. Is Seth Lugo. I've added to a couple of teams. In one of the leagues, he will be replacing Joe Ross, who I'm happy to have cut from my team.
Feels good, right?
Oh, it feels good.
It's so funny. I always love the drops that feel the best, right? Like when I dropped Kevin Kiermaier, like it felt great. You dropped Joe Ross, and it felt great. My buddy, who I was rooming with in Austin, he was making a pickup just for a pitcher over the weekend. And he literally picked up Trevor Williams. He's like, oh, this guy's facing the Mets. Let me pick up this guy. And he didn't know who to drop. And he's like, you know what? Screw this.
He's a casual fantasy player?
No. I wouldn't say that.
Oh, okay. He's more hardcore.
He's pretty hard. I mean, he's a good player.
Yeah, no, all right.
He's
not in Tout Wars.
No, he's not in Tout Wars. Right. I'm not in Tout Wars either.
Soon.
Breaking news, Corey is in Tout Wars.
So he picks up Trevor Williams because he's facing the Mets as a spot starter. And he's like, man, I don't know who to drop. He's like, you know what? I'm going to feel really good about myself. I'm just making this drop to feel good. And he dropped Matt Harvey. And he's like, I don't want to deal with Matt Harvey anymore. I don't feel good about it. Anytime he starts, I dread it. Screw this. And he dropped Matt Harvey, and he
good
never looked back. Scotty, who'd you pick up this week?
Ty Black of the San Francisco Giants. I was surprised he was dropped, actually, so I put in about $76 bid on him and ended up with him. Four straight quality starts. The guy doesn't strike out anybody, but his FIP is not that high above his ERA, and he's getting the job done. The 71% strand rate is a little bit concerning, but look, I needed some pitching depth, and he's out there. I'm picking him up. Also, Eric Skoglund of the Kansas City Royals had a great debut and a little bit of a bumpy start yesterday, but this is a guy who is the number five prospect in their system. I also picked up Jordy Mercer, who's been hitting over 400 the last 2 weeks for some infield depth, and those were some. I saw very heavy bids on Edison Volquez after the no-hitter, but it's not just the no-hitter. He's been pitching well over, say, the last five starts combined. And also I picked up Ben Lively in one league, you know, that's a top-ranked prospect for the Phillies who might get a chance to stick in the rotation. So got him as well, and a little bit of pitching in my AL-only league as well.
Corey, you're in Tower Wars.
Yeah.
Anybody stand out to you this weekend that you made a grab?
No, well, I took it. I'm still waiting for my pitching to get healthy. So right now I'm just trying to, you know, fill some spots and get some good pitching when I can play the options. So I pick up this kid Jeff Hoffman in Colorado playing for the Rockies. He gets the Padres this week, so hopefully that helps me out and Hoffman don't go crazy on me. And then I picked up Randall.
Shut him down yesterday.
Huh?
He shut him down yesterday.
Yeah, so we'll see what's up. And then I picked up Randall Delgado, Madika.
So
what do you think?
I.
Yo, hey, look at that. Everybody, I'm happy. I thought
post hype sleeper.
I thought I might have been making a mistake with Delgado, but I'm glad that other people did.
No,
too.
I think that's a good move. He's showed really good skills. I think he's going to earn a long-term spot in that rotation.
See, I'm worried about what I was thinking. He's going to be back in the bullpen.
Even if, I mean, how much did you spend on him?
$22.
Yeah, I think that's it's a nice get for you right now. If he keeps this up, he's really got some nice skills. So I like it. And I like Hoffman a lot, too. I mean, he kept getting demoted and stuff.
Yeah.
But he's striking like seven guys out, nine guys out. In the minors, the strikeouts weren't there, but he was pretty much a pedigree pitcher that people were looking for.
He got a problem keeping the ball in the ballpark, though.
I mean, look, you got to look at, I don't know the stats, but if he's giving up like solo home runs and stuff, that I don't mind. I don't know if that's the case here, but I got to think it is because he really hasn't been getting killed. So.
You have to keep that ball in that ballpark, though. That's a disadvantageous ballpark.
Yeah, but in all honesty, I mean, Coors gets branded as this big home run park. It's not. It's a great hitter's park.
It's a great hitter's park,
but it's not one of the top home run parks.
I was talking about Arizona. Like, you're right. It's like Coors is not not a home run park as much as like a doubles and extra base hit park.
Yeah, because it had vast outfield.
Yeah,
it's just like,
yeah.
So for me in GST, we tried. Of course, we made the Mike Trout trade on the Roto Experts in the morning last Thursday, I think, and I wanted an outfielder to get in there. So I went in a small little bid here for Tommy Pham. I put like $9 in Tommy Pham. All right, no one else wanted him. I'll grab him. And Nano checked it over, my partner, and he's like, yeah, $9 is fine. We like weren't even like in the same like vicinity.
Yeah, he went for like $61, I think.
He went for that. And then before I went to bed last night, I was like, you know what? Let me just put in a bid on Taylor Motter. Like, if we don't get Tommy Pham, let me just at least pick up Taylor Motter so I have a backup. I misread that market as well. I was a bit conservative there. I put like $3 on him. He went for 51 or something like that. And I just totally did not do anything in GST. And it was a mistake.
Do you have a hole in the outfield now?
No, because Lonnie Chisenhall is being activated today. So we can get him back in the outfield, which is annoying. We might try to make a trade today if anyone's interested in our league.
What, you want an outfielder?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. I got some.
Who you got?
Kyle Schwarber on the block.
Oh, God.
He hit a grand slam the other day.
Well, what are you looking in return for Schwarber? That's the question.
Yeah, I could use some speed and maybe some starting pitching.
And starting pitching.
I would take either or.
Yeah,
I'll give you Jared Eichhoff for Kyle Schwarber.
No.
Okay. Well, they're both pretty much
disappointment for disappointment, but yeah. I have no interest in Eichhoff. Not after San Francisco went off on him.
Hmm. Do you want... You want Tyler Skaggs for him? Skaggs will be back in June.
No. I don't want an injured player for him.
All right. You want Hyunjin Ryu? He starts twice this week.
No. I don't want an injured player for him.
He's not injured now. He's starting twice this week.
He will be.
What voice was that?
I don't know. Yoda.
Oh, Yoda. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. So I don't know. I don't have anything to offer you, unfortunately, for him then.
Oh, man.
Yeah. All right. Whatever. We'll just start lying. Just know that. No big deal.
The chiz,
indeed.
I might have another outfield. I have to look at this during the break.
No problem.
Yeah, but I'm not interested in any of those names.
I don't really have anybody offer you.
I need a rehab start.
You need a simulated game.
No, because I got like this crick in my shoulder. I slept funny the other night. I need to get stretched out.
So anyway, I didn't.
Here comes a Facebook.
I didn't wind up with anybody on the squad. The top
Greg,
bit. Yes, sir.
Mailman wanted to know if you want Audible.
Oh, he is trying so hard to get rid of Odubel Herrera.
It might be a time, Greg.
So Rod Caffrey offered me this yesterday. I forgot to tell. I wasn't going to say anything.
It must be bad.
It's not as bad as some of the other offers that the Mound has offered to other people. Because I know he's offered Odubel Herrera to everybody in the league.
Yes.
So he's offered me Odubel and Albert Pujols.
He offered me then too, yes.
Who did he offer you for?
For Bud Norris and Chris Owings.
For me, it's Billy Hamilton and Jonathan Scope.
What?
I'm going to decline the offer, Ron.
Yeah.
Sorry. I do love Odubel, though.
I like Pujols, but, you know.
Anyway, so the top, interestingly enough, you know who was the top bid this week? The highest bid on player? Matt?
Highest bid on player.
I think we mentioned him.
I don't think we did.
I think I mentioned him a minute ago.
You mentioned Edison Volquez, who's not the answer. So, thank you, Scott.
I'm trying to think, top of my head.
That's why it's very interesting to me. Because I thought, like, Ty Black makes sense, even though I hate his strikeout rate and his strand rate, as you mentioned, Scott.
Yeah.
Edison Volquez pitching a little bit better. You talked about him. The guy that was the highest bid on player in this 15-team league this week, Eric Young.
Yeah, I mean, I could see it for speed, but I'm just not an Eric Young guy. I really
don't. You're $135, right?
$149.
Wow. This guy's like he's been a journeyman. He's got off to a hot start, but
the team
desperately needs speed, but I'm not into it. Tony said he only bid 55. I could see more of that.
It's so interesting to me because Tony, last Monday, we got on the show 5 minutes before. He goes, what do you think of Eric Young? I'm like, I'm off of this Eric Young thing. And here he is, $149 in a 15-team league. That kind of shows you the depth of the league. When we come back, let's look at some of the other baseball headlines from the week. And I'll tell you the players I want to drop. I'll talk about the ledge next on the Roto Experts.
I just saw the Greg hands just now. The Greg hands. There go the Greg hands. There we go. It's a nice jam right here.
It is that.
We got a dynamic duo going.
Yeah, there's a lot going on. We got Scotty getting his little salsa on.
I don't know any words besides when Bieber just says Despacito.
Okay, Bieber's in this jam too, huh? Okay. This is Bieber and Daddy Yankee. Interesting combination.
Greg's guy,
I mean, Bieber. Think about it like this. It's right, like, a couple years ago, like, Rihanna did the hook to every song. Now Bieber does the hook to every song. Same kind of
cool,
thing.
That's what's up. Hey, did y'all see the fat-ass Ryan brothers getting and mixing it up in this bar?
Yeah, in Nashville.
Yeah, they
were in a Bryce Harper jersey.
We're in a Bryce Harper jersey throwing punches.
Just like Matt Modica.
Like Rob and Rex Ryan. Shout out to the Ryan. Shout out to Buddy Ryan. This is great to have these. Look at these dudes. These is grown men, coaches in the NFL, at a bar in Nashville throwing punches. I love it. I love it. I love the Ryans.
Yeah. I'm a fan
not
of
for
the dad,
coaching necessarily.
Not you're not a fan of Bubby? I mean, you're not a fan of Rex and Rob?
No. The dad I love. The dad was one of my favorites. I love when he punched
Kevin Gilbride.
He punched Kevin. I knew some Giants fans that wanted to punch Kevin Gilbride that year. They fired him. Oh, man. Shout out to Buddy Ryan, though, for making great children.
You think they were great coaches?
I thought Rex Ryan. I think Rex Ryan was a very good head coach. I think he wasn't given an opportunity.
I think he was a better coordinator than a head coach.
I agree with Scott. I hated that he went to Buffalo. I was so happy when he coached the Jets because I hate the Jets, and I was. Like,
he was great with the Ravens.
Let's get into some.
Rob ain't never been good nowhere though.
No, some of the baseball players
except the buffet
that I want to talk about. You hungry now?
Yeah, nah, he mentioned buffet. I'm looking at the Ryans.
That's all it did for you? That was it? You got the Ryans. They're always hungry. All right, I want to talk about some players on my team that I want to drop, and maybe you guys can tell me I shouldn't or should not do it. Let's start with Kenta Maeda, because yesterday... That was real quick. So yesterday, I'm on a plane coming home, and...
He flew out of Houston or Austin?
Austin.
Okay.
I flew into Newark, and I'm always somebody in a bachelor party, by the way. I want to get out of there. I just got to get home.
Why is that?
Because I don't want to get home last night like 8 o'clock and then, you know, I have to come to work the next day and, you know, do the rundown. I need to, like, refresh, so be home, and then I'm ready to go, you know?
So you're, like, the first guy out.
First guy out.
I
was on an 8 a.m. flight yesterday.
You're the first guy out type. I like that.
100%.
Leave it there. I can't take it back with me. Leave it there. It's over.
Correct. Leave it there. Come back. And then I have the day to just relax, take a nap, sit on
yourself
the couch.
Together, yeah.
So by the time the Warriors game started last night at 8 o'clock, I was ready to go watch the game, did the rundown while I watched the game.
I love it.
And then game was over and went to bed. It was like, it was just perfect, you know?
I'm the dude that leaves on Monday because I'm trying to get that last straggler. Come back to the room.
I had to work, man.
I feel you.
So I'm following this Brewers Dodgers game on Statcast, and like I got a good matchup going on, and I see the score is 2-0 in the sixth inning. I'm like, all right, you know what? That means my hand is probably pitched pretty well. 2-0 in the sixth inning, no big deal. And I go to this dude's line, 4 innings, he had 2 hits, 2 runs, 3 walks, 7 strikeouts. And it was 2-0. Eric came to the solo homer, no big deal. Eric Sogard, he got a little trouble in the second, and that was it. And that was it. And he's pulled after 4 innings. I understand he threw 92 pitches, but Kenta Maeda, since coming off the DL, has been a disaster. A straight up disaster. And yet he hasn't allowed more than 3 runs that were earned. I don't understand it, but I can't keep throwing at a guy that doesn't go 5 innings.
He should have never went to the DL. You don't, especially coming off that start that he had where he had his longest in his career at over 8 innings. I mean, there's just too much good here, and he can throw more than 92 pitches. He can throw him 108 pitches. He should have came out for that fifth inning. I don't get the Dodgers shutting him down after that. I mean, the swinging strike rate is almost still elite. It's 14-point-something%. The first pitch strike is there. The hard hit percentage is like 26.5. I mean, everything about this guy, I mean, the left on base percentage is 67.5. So there's, you know, he can improve. I just don't get it. I mean, I know the Dodgers, there was a report they're getting frustrated with him.
And they're pissed off at him.
Yeah, but look, leave the guy in for over 100 pitches. You know what I'm saying?
When we look at that, though, I wonder if something's still bothering him, you know, that they're not letting him go longer than that. Secondly, there's always context, too. It's like, cut Kenta Maeda, who are you picking up?
I think that's the most important
that's
part.
That's the problem. And that's the problem,
the most
right?
important thing.
100%. Scotty, I mean, I have these roster spots. I have plenty of guys I want to get rid of probably before Kenta Maeda, to be honest with you. There's no way to pick up. That is my biggest issue.
So then
just
my recommendation
there.
Is reserve Kenta Maeda.
And even in a 12-team this year, due to the state of pitching, it's like, you know, even I've noticed in the two that I play in, the pitching market is very thin there as well.
The next guy that is on, let me get into this Dodgers game here for a moment. So the Dodgers fell in Milwaukee yesterday, 3-0. Zach Davies improves to 6-3 on the year, which it's crazy because I know Zach Davies was a guy that everybody was high on before the season started. Got off to a really slow start. I mean, the ERA is terrible. It's 4.69. Yesterday was really good. He's 6-3. He's been really good for like the last month. 3 hits, no runs, walked one dude. Sure, he had 6.
He did the same thing last year. He had a terrible first month or two, and then from June on, he was really good. The control was pinpoint. So, I mean, he's a guy that, you know, maybe somebody soured on him, cut him. I still like him. I mean, he's not a top end, you know, back end guy that, you know, can help you.
Would you go Kenta Maeda for Zach Davies?
No, I'm still going to stay with Kenta Maeda.
Yeah, I'd stick with Maeda too.
Yeah, me too.
For Milwaukee, Eric Thames. Scott just talked to him. You heard from him earlier in this program. It is 15th home run of the season. But Domingo Santana, now he's up to 10. 10 home runs with a 270 average, 364 OBP. Matt, you were tweeting about Domingo Santana last night.
Yeah, he hit his 10th one of the season. That's double digits for him. He's a player that I was really hoping, you know, he was more of a, you know, 15th round in deep leagues kind of guy that you're going to take a shot on. There's a lot I like about him. Milwaukee's giving him the opportunity. So hopefully he continues to hit. I know his BABIP is really high right now. So I'm hoping, you know, everything will work out for him. He's a player I do like. I like Broxton as well. And if one of these guys does falter, then I think that's when you'll see Lewis Brinson, unless Scott has some, you know, some other news for us. But you know, I'm hoping both these guys, I have both of them in a couple of places.
Yeah, they're not rushing Brinson. Santana's playing really well. When I asked Thomas Hodricourt about him, they're like, wow, you know, he's just been amazing, hasn't he? It's like, this is the real breakthrough season for that kid. Broxton has really picked it up after a slow first month, and I even told Keon about how Greg maintained the confidence in him even while he was having a slow first
month.
What did
he say?
And Matt Medica as well. I mentioned
both. What did he say?
We'll probably hear that tomorrow.
Oh, I thought you was going to give me a preview.
But he's pretty crazy. When you look at Broxton, he's like atop the leaderboard or one of the leaders in strikeout percentage and BABIP. So that's pretty nuts.
The Brewers, as I said, off to his hot start, 30-27. They're you know, still over 500. The Dodgers 35-23 here on the year, but they really struggled yesterday. The next guy that I'm ready to cut would be Yasmani Tomas. The Arizona Diamondbacks fell to Miami yesterday 6-5. And my issue is not only is Tomas not getting hits, he's not playing. And as I look at it, I can deal with slumps. Every player goes through a slump, and I'm okay with that. But I look at a guy like Yasmani Tomas, and I see that he has not played 3 times in his last 5 games. And he was always somebody that, you know, rested quite a bit. But either he's not getting hits or he's not playing. I can't have a guy that does this.
Yeah, that's tough. I mean, especially in weekly leagues. I know in your league, you can make 4 moves a week.
Yeah.
And the problem is, what happens when AJ Pollock comes back?
That's another thing you have
to. Yeah, that's another thing you have to consider. I've said it all along. I think he has a certain role, and the power is real. He's an American League player, and he needs to be on an American League team.
The thing I fear about cutting a guy like Tomas is, though, that he had a really good first month, and now you're reacting to a cold streak, which isn't surprising. But when he heats up again, I think you might regret this. And again, who are you cutting him for?
It's not the cold streak that's bothering me. Mm-hmm. It's that he's not playing. I can deal with the slump. I just said that, right? The slump's not what bothers me. I agree, Scotty. Every player goes through a slump. I could go through that because of how hot he was at the beginning of the season. I can't deal with a guy that doesn't play.
He was hitting and he was playing. Starts hitting again, he might start playing again.
But they're also going to have A.J. Pollock coming back. It's
what's
crowded.
That outfield look like now? You got Pollock and, well, and who else? Like,
well, when he comes back. But you have David Peralta. If David Peralta's hitting, it's going to be pretty tough to keep him out of the lineup. He's going to play against right-handers all the time. So, I mean, I don't know. It's he's
and
a
you
guy
got Tasmani in left field, right?
Well, you have a player like Tomas who the power's real. I'm not going to deny that. The guy hit 31 home runs and had a negative WAR, so that kind of tells you what kind of player he is.
Just from certainly a defensive perspective as well, the home runs are just not as important as they were. Who am I cutting him for? What if I cut him for Kevin Kiermaier?
I kind of like that.
See, you
but
like
maybe
that.
I'm biased. Maybe I'm biased.
Oh, sure, you are biased.
I think Kiermaier's shown us that he can go cold.
Well, the thing with Kiermaier is he has power and speed. He can give you some pop. Look, Tomas will hit more home runs, but I like the combination when I can get some home runs and speed. And
ultimately, if he's hitting, though, how much are they going to bench him for Gregor Blanco?
Scott, he hasn't played 3 of his last 5 days.
They're just giving him a mental break. He's slumping.
No, because
he's
stinks.
Thinking of joining up, Scott. He sucks.
He didn't suck during the first month.
Whoa.
I can't play a guy that doesn't play.
I think it's reactionary.
I think
of course it's reactionary. That's what fantasy baseball is.
I think you can keep him on your bench for a bit. See, you know, I know you hate doing that.
I'm like fiending here.
Yeah.
As I said, the Marlins defeated Arizona yesterday by a score of 6-5. When we come back, more baseball talk here at this table. It's the Roto Experts in the Morning here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Roto Experts in the Morning, Fantasy Sports Radio Network, rolling along here on a Monday morning. So some of the injuries from this weekend, shall we here, gentlemen? Where Justin Verlander...
You
yes.
need me to get the skeleton?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
That'll be quick. Justin Verlander left yesterday's game with groin tightness. Was it,
oh, boy. Was Jeff it, don't have a groin, so I couldn't show you that on the skeleton anyway.
I don't know if it was really groin tightness or it was just an excuse for why he pitched terribly. But Verlander hopes to make his next start here next weekend. I bought low on Justin Verlander yesterday in a league. I made a trade. sold high on Corey Dickerson. And traded him away for Addison Reed and Justin Verlander. Needed some pitching. Thought it was a good buy-low opportunity.
Needed some saves.
Needed some saves, yeah. So I thought it was a fine deal. So I made it, and then Verlander goes and gets hurt, which infuriated me.
Yeah, I'm hoping he goes to the 10-day DL. He needs, mental break, a little physical break, figure things out. I had him at 15th overall in my starting pitcher rankings because I'm a guy that believes in the back of the card. In the long run, somebody that's going to be there in September. He's a guy that's figured it out in the past. And over the past couple of seasons, he's had remarkable second halves. There's many, many cautionary tales for Justin Verlander. The chase rate is down. The walks are way up. I'm assuming he's going to figure something out. The walks will normalize. He'll get the strikeouts back. He is a guy I would buy low on. But, you know, it's tough right now.
I think going to the DL is a good idea. I think he needs a mental and physical break. Tigers providing a lot of offensive support recently for their pitchers. Justin Upton has started to heat up, too, and, he had a walk-off home run yesterday.
Yeah, your boy, Justin Upton, your boy. I hate Justin Upton, for the record. Can never get in on him personally.
He's not a bad roto guy because the stats are there.
Much better roto guy than
you're a head-to-head guy. It's all about context.
Totally agree with that. X-rays for Devin Travis were negative. Devin Travis, I believe, led the league in doubles in May.
Oh, wow.
A terrific month of May for
really
Devin Travis.
And Travis left yesterday's Yankee Blue Jay game with an injury, comes back, his x-rays are negative, so I think he's going to be okay. Josh Harrison also left yesterday's game, the Met game, because he got hit in the calf. We'll see how serious that is. I assume probably it's going to be a little bit of a bruise on the calf for Josh Harrison. I expect him to be okay as well. Mets got roughed up yesterday, huh?
The Mets, I think Adam Rubin put it out, God loves everyone, even the Mets. I retweeted it, except on Sundays. Their run differential on Sundays, which was obviously buoyed by that game in Washington where they lost like 23-5, but they just get slaughtered on Sundays for some reason.
Really. Yeah, it's about the you got Mats and Lugo coming back next weekend, so maybe the pitching's starting to look up.
Love the optimism from Scotty.
But so yes. Let me ask you a question.
They have an optimistic New York Mets.
On June 5th.
Loyal, unlike you.
On June 5th, you agree the division is out of reach. We're 11 games out, or do you still hold out hope? Are you the last Jedi?
Good movie.
The last Medi.
Promo code.
I'm not... It doesn't look good, but, you know, look, the year they acquired Cespedes, people thought they were
yes
out
of... No,
yes
or no. You still you believe you have believe. A show.
Yes.
Of course you do.
Yeah.
They'll be 25 games out.
On August 2nd.
They go on a little run.
No, I can't say they're eliminated now because something could happen.
I'm saying the division, not the wild card, the division, the NL East.
It's too early to concede anything in June. I would be surprised if they won the division, but, you know, I can't rule it out totally in June.
Albert Pujols hit home run number 600 on Saturday. He's with a grand slam. A good way to hit number 600. And the cool thing about that grand slam was it marked 7 grand slams that were hit on Saturday.
Yes.
Most ever in a single day in MLB history. History made every single year.
You want to do something fun? Just go pull up Albert Pujols' baseball reference page, Fangraphs page, and just look at what this guy did in his career. Look how amazing his numbers are.
He's played through a lot of injuries in his career. I remember that year in St. Louis where he had the forearm injury and he came back way quicker than anybody thought he could.
I was at the game when he hit his 400th home run.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Hit it at Nationals Park.
You know, a little trivia question for you, gentlemen. Albert Pujols now has 600 home runs. What pitcher has he faced more than anybody?
What pitcher has he faced more than anybody?
Active pitcher.
Active pitcher.
Active pitchers.
What pitcher has the most, he's the most at-bats against?
In St. Louis.
Good trivia question, right?
Yeah, it is a good one, question.
Greg. I like that one.
I got to think of Adam Wainwright. No, Adam Wainwright.
It's not Adam Wainwright because they played together forever.
I'm trying to think of. No. I was going to say, how about this? I'll go on a limb here. Matt Garza?
It is not, you know what's so funny? I asked my buddies this question, and their first guess was Matt Garza.
Yeah, I'm trying to think.
Jordan Zimmerman?
It's not Jordan Zimmerman. It is not Matt Garza.
Okay. Let's see.
I'll tell you this. This pitcher currently pitches in the American League.
I was thinking.
Currently
pitches in the American League. Mm. Yeah. Sorry.
Is it Cole Hamels?
It is not Cole Hamels. That was a heck of a guess, though. It was not Cole Hamels.
It's better than my Adam Wainwright.
It probably was
a little bit.
It's actually interesting.
Ricky Nolasco?
It is not Ricky Nolasco.
Can we get a division?
Currently pitches in the AL West.
AL West.
He is currently owned on fantasy teams. So he's a fantasy relevant pitcher.
Matt Cain?
It is not Matt Cain, which is in the AL West we're looking for.
No, sorry.
No problem. Matt Cain's a good guess, though. Matt Cain's a good guess.
Who's on the A's? No.
Looking for the AL West here, gentlemen.
Nobody on the A's.
Nobody on the A's. Cross the hat. Couple teams left.
I don't see anybody in the Mariners.
Andrew Cashner.
He's not the Mariners. Not Andrew Cashner.
So who on the Astros?
It is not the Astros. Cross them off the list. Fantasy relevant. I don't know. Andrew Cashner spells it around.
Jesse Chavez?
It is not Jesse Chavez. Stumped Matt Modica here. Gave me the I don't know.
You Darvish?
It is not.
I don't know. At this point, I'm just here.
It is not anyone on the Rangers.
What the hell's left in the AL?
Ryan Madsen?
It is not on the A's still.
So it's somebody on the Angels.
It is a teammate of Albert Pujols's.
Is
it Bud Norris?
It is Bud Norris.
I'm dead.
I was not thinking relievers at all.
I was going to say Bud Norris.
I know you were.
I'm dead serious.
I was going Bud Norris. National and American, and I wasn't thinking in the bullpen. starter turn reliever.
Bud Norris. Crazy, right? Active pitcher. Al Pujols has the most at bats against his teammate, Bud Norris. Bud Norris, actually, I believe, has been done very, very well against Al Pujols. I think the batting average is like under 200 for Pujols against Bud Norris lifetime. So Norris has done a nice job overall when facing teammate now, Albert Pujols. Those are the major injuries, of course, here from the weekend. I want to go around the table, give everybody a chance to talk about a baseball thing from the weekend that, you know, stood out to them. Matt, I'll start with you.
Chris Taylor of the Dodgers, I believe he's leading them in OPS. He's just been a godsend to that team. He's got multiple. I think he's even got outfield now. He's got second, third,
I believe so.
So he's been one of the, if you were able to pick him up over the last couple of weeks, good job by you.
Scotty, what stood out for you baseball-wise this weekend?
Just looking at my, getting ready to do my lineups this week and seeing it in two of my leagues, Anthony Rizzo is eligible at second base. It's still hard, finding it hard to wrap my mind around this, that like okay, it just, it should make sense, but somehow it does. I haven't even watched you know, on film, how this makes sense. It's like, and it doesn't happen regularly. It's like, really, should this be legal? But you can't point out how it can be illegal. It's just such a wacky thing that I've never seen. I think it's the wildest thing I've seen in fantasy since Marcus Colston, you know, like, was it, what, is he a tight end or is he a wide receiver?
Would you like me to slap you straight?
I would like to see you try. You're hanging out with Corey now. You're becoming a lot of talk.
No, you said you couldn't wrap your mind around it.
In Yahoo, Anthony Rizzo.
What's the closest hospital to you, Lenox Hill?
St. Luke's.
Yeah.
Roosevelt.
Yeah.
In Yahoo, at least, Anthony Rizzo is not eligible at second base, which I find interesting because everyone always points at Yahoo the eligibility.
Oh, that is amazing. That's like, right? I mean, it was like Ty Montgomery last year. Like, they were like, no, we're taking a stand. And then a few months later, Kyle Schwarber is a catcher. He has a court, like, you know.
All right, Cam Bedrosian be back this week.
Great.
Yeah, no.
Sorry.
I got him on like every freaking team.
Pretty locked.
I dropped Cam Bedrosian.
Sova.
I've heard he's going to come back 1,000 times, and like he makes like the slowest progress ever. I'm done with this.
He's like the turtle.
Yeah. Anything else baseball-wise that I see, Corey, this weekend?
No, that's it.
No, that's it. You don't watch much baseball this weekend.
He's in fourth place.
Yeah, I'm not questioning.
Running a team and watching baseball is different.
that's for sure. I think a lot of people agree with you. For me, what stood out is on, you know, we got a save on Saturday for a team.
Oh, Jeanmar Gomez!
Jeanmar Gomez got a save on Saturday.
I was gonna text you, but I was like, let him have a good time.
I would always appreciate Jeanmar text. That's for sure. Jeanmar, he got the save that stood out to me. Ariel Miranda, who I wanted to pick up as a spot starter. This is funny. So I went to bed very, very late on Saturday night, and I was in the bathroom like 3 a.m. Eastern time. So now I can go pick up a player. So I went to pick him up. I went to go pick up Ariel Miranda, and I was like, I just fell asleep. And then when I woke up, he was already taken. Dude pitched the freaking complete game yesterday. Ariel Moreno's good. I think of Jeff Hoffman instead. Jeff Hoffman was awesome in San Diego. Is he actually awesome, or is his face in San Diego?
He's pretty good.
Two
good spot starts indeed. When we return, we'll find out what's next on the OGs. And I have one final stat question for the table here on a Monday morning. Roto Experts in the Morning concludes right after this. The morning here on a Monday.
Song of the summer, 1992.
All done here today.
Corey had his pants on backwards.
Nah.
And in regards to as Volquez's no hitter of the weekend, Corey, do you think you should get extra points in your pitchers? No-hitter?
Yeah, I think so.
Don't they do that daily?
I think in DFS they do it, but in Roto League,
you should get something for your pitcher pitching
a no hitter.
I mean, how cool was it that he did it on your Donovan Ventura's birthday? He had the Jose Fernandez patch on. It just, that was really something special.
Locked in.
And a lot of people picked him up, but like, even for not for the no-hitter, you look at his game log, the last few games, Volquez hasn't been bad despite the overall record.
What was really impressive besides the no-hitter is the fact that Volquez went 9 innings and 98 pitches. And he's one of, I forget who else was in it. But he struck out the side in the ninth. That's another thing that was damn.
And he got injured on the first play of the game, and he was saying that he had to come out.
Crazy.
He was telling the trainers, I need to come out.
And they said, nah, you're good, bro. You're good. So do you, Scott, you're the old-fashioned player. Do you believe you should something extra for a no-hitter?
Yeah, I like that. I've always said, you know, if you pitcher it's a home run, why not give you a little bonus?
Sure.
Yeah.
Matt, as the NFBC player.
I don't know. Not really, to be honest with you. But yeah. If it makes somebody happy, maybe, yeah.
All right, Scroogey. You had a tweet you wanted to read?
Yeah, Russell Wilson just tweeted, let's make the world a better place today with the praying hands emoji. So Russell Wilson is up fooling people early.
He's like, Curry, this is Sherman.
Corey doesn't believe anybody can be a nice guy. He's got nothing on him at all.
Oh boy!
I mean, he does have the fact that he makes his friend sign NDAs.
He makes his friend signs non-disclosures to sit in the damn room with him.
How do you know they're friends though?
That he makes puppies. The NDAs.
he hired his friends from childhood to like be his staff.
Well, Seth Wickersham wrote that he makes people sign NDAs to go to baseball games.
Yeah, but he didn't say
like
his friends though necessarily. He said people.
Why would he bring
if
people?
If you don't know Russell Wilson, you know, and he wants to like just be himself. In the box, you know.
Why would I bring someone in the box I'm not friends with?
Because maybe they're for business purposes, or somebody like wants to bring him and meet him for the first time. If he doesn't know him, you know, I don't think it's the worst thing in the world.
Well, this came from the clubhouse, Scott. This came from the locker room. This came from the locker room that he was making his teammates,
you know,
not
though,
friends, teammates,
but you know what it
sign
is,
an NDA
like,
to hang
like
out with him.
You and everybody else who's trying to knock Russell Wilson, you really don't have anything on him.
We're not knocking him. We're just telling you what the article said.
What?
I'm telling you what the article said.
What the article said was a lot of backbiting and sniping. Oh, the guy gives us free tickets for, you know, plane flights every year. Big deal, he doesn't pay for them. You know,
he didn't pay for them!
This is all junior high school bullcrap. Nobody's got anything on Russell Wilson.
I didn't get any tickets in junior high school!
Ezekiel Elliott bought his offensive lineman. Offensive lineman.
Blunts, right?
No. He's a hater.
I don't hate his
Ezekiel
Elliott like
bought his offensive lineman little go-karts, you know what I'm saying? At like 15 grand a pop, your man is giving his teammates free airline tickets from Alaska Airways. F out of here.
Free life first class tickets.
He didn't pay for it. He don't care about those people.
Everybody's just hating.
I personally don't care what kind of person Tyrod Taylor is.
Yeah,
he wins
I
games.
Feel you.
That's all I care about.
Yeah. Russell Wilson's a champ. Ezekiel Elliott is not.
Ezekiel Elliott is going into his second season.
Russell Wilson's a champ.
Well, so is Ezekiel Elliott. He's a national champion, actually.
We're talking NFL here.
You didn't make that clear. Corey, what's up next on the OGs?
Coming up on OGs, we'll go through some of the news from the NFL over the weekend. My guy George Kurtz will give us some of the latest in the closer situations. We'll talk, got a little baseball, football, you know, some different things that we're going to get into. You know, it's nothing spectacular.
So there
it'll be
old school fantasy. Nothing spectacular. There you go. There's the tagline of the day. For Matty Modica, CTM Baseball. For this idiot doing that, Scott the King Angle.
If only you could dance.
For Corey Parsons from the Fantasy Executive, my name is Greg Sossman. Old School Fantasy is up next. Remember, it's nothing spectacular. We'll be back tomorrow, 8 a.m. Eastern, for another edition of the program. Have a fantastic Monday afternoon. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.